Hey, welcome to the Side Quest, your weekly journey into the world of video games. I am Dolly Domofsky, and joining me as usual, the one, the only, Aaron Scratty Bones Kelly.
Finger guns.
That should be our new thing, just be finger guns. Nice. How are you, Aaron? How are you doing?
I'm doing terrible.
Doing terrible?
Uh-oh. Yeah, my jaw thing's back.
Oh, dude, that sucks.
So I am. I'm at the level of drunk where it's not bothering me, but I'm not drunk enough to be having a good time.
Oh no!
Just to deal with it, and hopefully I'll get into the dentist soon. How about you? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm tired today. I pulled a bunch of late nights this week for work, and I needed to. You know, I'm just tired. I just need to sleep.
Yeah.
Thankfully last night I had fallen asleep at 11:45, which is the earliest I had gone to bed all week long. So that's cool. Previous nights it was like 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning working on stuff and then waking up at like 6:15 at the latest to like get stuff done. So yeah, not a lot of sleep. But today I'm in R&R mode. The rest of today is gonna do my thing.
Nice.
So I'm getting the tweet ready.
Even though we're already well live.
But maybe there's people out there that want to listen to us. I don't know. Well, let's. So again, the way we've been kind of. You can tell how kind of mood I'm in. The way we've been shifting things around as we start with the news and get into what we've been playing. I think we could do that again. This time, yeah.
Okay.
You got it.
We can start however you want because I'm going to tell you right now on my end, there's not a lot of either.
Don't worry. There wasn't a lot of either on my end, which is great. It's going to be a shorter show.
Yeah, definitely. Let me see. Hey, here's a news blurb. I touch on this from time to time. Hey, you know that video game that some people have played, Grand Theft Auto 5?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. You know, it's an indie game, a little niche. It just passed
niche game. Oh, yeah.
Niche game, you know, just mm-hmm. one man developer team or something like that, probably.
Mm-hmm.
140 million units passed.
Oh, rest in pieces.
Yeah, so that's a shame. I want Grand Theft Auto 6.
That's a hell of a lot of freaking copies of GTA. That's insane, man.
Yeah,
why they don't need to put a new one out?
No, I mean, well, you buy that game and you play through the story, mm-hmm. and that's probably 20 hours, 30 hours, something like that. But and then you just jump online. Like every time I install that game, like every 6 months or so, and I just spend like a month just like doing online races. Mm-hmm. I don't even run around the city; I just do the races.
You're making your own experience out of it. That's what I appreciate, actually. It's like you're turning lemons into lemonade. Maybe lemonade into lemons, like in reverse, but it's all right. It's all good.
Yeah.
So that's a lot. You know what? Kudos to Mr. Rockstar. Yeah. Mr. Star. Is it Star? Mr. Star?
I believe his name is Rock Space Star.
Rock Space Star. Okay. Yeah. Wow, holy shit. By the way, I just figured out how to dim and brighten my screen. And here I was thinking I was going blind. I'm like, everything is really dark on the screen. No, my screen is just dimmed. So I am not going blind, everybody. Just want to give you guys a heads up.
Hey, here's some news. They fired the guy that did the voice of Sonic. And
so it was a firing. Okay, I was curious.
He's out. I'm not going to say fired because I haven't seen anything that specifically said he was fired because they're not going to say anything like that. But the voice of Sonic is out. The guy who plays Sonic the Hedgehog is out and they'll be replacing him. The guy who plays Dr. Eggman, still in.
Maybe it was all a plan by Dr. Eggman.
Yeah.
Dr. Robert T. Eggman. That's insane. Yeah. I mean, he was a long time voice actor for the character across a lot of different medium, except for the movie. Maybe they're taking Ben Schwartz from the movie and just making him the voice actor for all the rest of Sonic stuff. Who knows? They did announce they did kind of showcase the the official announcement for the sequel, the movie sequel, this week. But
good.
We all need it. The fact that that movie, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, surprisingly.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, continue.
Yeah, I was just going to, he released a little statement on Twitter saying he's still in. And then followed that up with like, you know, hey, I know you're going to speculate, blah, blah, blah. Sure. There are reasons, et cetera, et cetera. Which, fair enough. Hey, you hear about the Anthem stuff?
Very briefly. Now, so, I'm going to need you to explain this to me.
So, apparently EA has been, they've mm-hmm. had a team of something like 30-ish people
mm-hmm.
Whose entire job was to figure out how to fix and make Anthem good.
Okay.
And they're,
did they do it?
so they are, this week they are expected to decide whether or not they're going to expand that team or put an end to it.
Hmm.
And when this news broke, my first thought was, didn't they already release the thing that was supposed to fix Anthem? Like that exists, right? Like that they released a big patch and like revamped a bunch of stuff. And they were like, hey, Anthem's good now. And no, it wasn't. All these live games have this habit of they launch shitty.
Yeah, that's normal. Yep.
And then everybody expects them to like release like a big content push or like a mechanics revamp, and that'll make the game good or not. Like that is the story for live games these days.
It's, yeah, and I'm pretty sure Anthem 2, Rainbow Six, Division 1 and 2, all the same way.
And I'm pretty sure Anthem did that. I'm pretty sure that content came out.
I don't know. And maybe because I don't know, that's damning evidence
that
they did a bad job. It was Anthem Next, right? Is that what they were kind of...
Anthem Next is what they're calling this, yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, so...
Okay.
So Anthem, hey. Anthem
next time, huh?
Anthem, better luck next time.
Anthem, better luck next time. Okay. I appreciate that. Hello, listeners. There's some folks hopping in right now saying hi.
Hey, what else I got? Terraria is not coming to Stadia.
Oh, this is a fun one.
Yeah. So the developer of Terraria had his Google account locked, disabled somehow.
For a long time, too.
So I've got his tweets up right here.
Okay.
Let me see if I can get the full thread up just in case. I don't want to. So this is at DemiLogic on Twitter, Andrew Spinks.
Mm-hmm.
His tweets say, at Google, my account has now been disabled for over 3 weeks. I still have no idea why, and after using every resource I have to get this resolved, you have done nothing but give me the runaround. My phone has lost access to thousands of dollars of apps on Google Play. I had just bought Lord of the Rings 4K and can't finish it. My Google Drive data is completely gone. I can't access my YouTube channel. The worst of all is losing access to my Gmail address of over 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely have not done anything to violate your terms of service, so I can take this no other way. I can take this no other way than you deciding to burn this bridge. Consider it burned. Terraria for Google Stadia is canceled. My company will no longer support any of your platforms moving forward.
Except for
Android. I will not be involved with a corporation that values their customers and partners so little. Doing business with you is a liability. I actually went through something similar a little while ago. One of my email accounts got hacked. And I went through all the recovery steps to get it back. Whoever hacked it changed the password on me, but they didn't remove any of the forwarding. So every time I sent, or every time I requested like a recover password form, it would show up in my main email inbox and then wouldn't work. And none of the recovery steps work. And I reached out to Google and they said, yeah, the fact that everything's forwarding to your email account doesn't actually consist as proof that you own the email account. And so there's nothing we can do. So I just don't have that email anymore.
Oh my God, Google.
Yeah. So, yeah. Hey, Google, what the fuck? What are you doing?
That's really, you know, that's a whole other issue that we'll have to talk to another time. But I may need to have a couple other accounts with stuff being forwarded back and forth just in case.
Yeah.
In case one account goes dead. Okay. Good to know.
What else I got for what else have we got for news? Hey, Riot Games is investigating claims of gender discrimination by their CEO.
Again.
Yeah, so I mentioned it a few weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago at this point, about how they were trying to force everything into arbitration because they realized their court cases weren't going. So now there's a comment. This is mostly just an update to that story. There's a comment from the attorney for the plaintiff of that case. So that's out there.
It's at this point, it's the culture at Riot Games. It's not just an individual here, an individual there. I mean, you've built, it's like having a really crappy sports team and you get rid of the majority of folks, but you keep the coach. I mean,
It's like being the owner of a football team and everybody saying, hey, you know, it's incredibly racist and offensive that your team is called the Redskins. And you're saying, no, I'm not racist. I'm not going to change the name. There's cultural heritage. No, there's not.
No.
But, I mean, the guys who are at the top of Riot Games all came out of like the original Warcraft 3, like Dota scene. Yeah. And for as fun as that mod scene was, that was a toxic environment. Like, you never wanted to engage with anybody in that scene if you were not a part of like a big shot in that scene. And I can only imagine that attitude carried over because they became incredibly successful very quickly.
Yep.
And now we're seeing that it did. Hey, speaking of success, you hear about that CD Projekt stuff?
There was some success there for somebody making money.
Yeah. So CD Projekt Red, developers of Witcher 3 and Gwent and there's something I'm forgetting. Some sort of Shadowrun game.
I think it's Shadowrunner 2020. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. They got hacked really hardcore and all the source code was taken. And when I say all the source code, I mean I believe it was the source code for Witcher 3 and the source code for Gwent and the source code for Shadowrun 2077.
And an unreleased version of Witcher 3 that never came out.
Yeah. And so they got hardcore hacked and they're out there saying like, yeah, it happened. None of your personal data got out. Don't worry about that. Ha ha. Collar pull. And then the follow-up to that is that hackers are claiming they sold it.
That's insane. Yeah. For like a buku amount of bucks.
Yeah,
apparently.
So the original story is everywhere, but CD Projekt Red released a statement on their Twitter account, which is twitter.com/CD Projekt Red. The follow-up story that I have open is from Games Industry, written by James Batchelor, that basically talks about information they've received that says that these ransomware hackers absolutely sold it, and that the group was asking for a starting bid of 1 million with a minimum offer increase of 500,000 or the option to purchase immediately for 7 million but that it's unclear how much money the hackers accepted.
It's insane because at the beginning of the week everyone was like, yeah, right. This is, oh yeah, you got hacked. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, you got hacked. And now by the end of the week, people are, I think we're a little bit more convinced that there actually was a hack out there.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's just there's rumors about it being an inside job. There's, you know, disgruntled fans. There's all kinds of stuff out there. But either way, it's just yet another bad vibe around anything CD Projekt Red's been doing since basically September, when they've been having delays and
they just they can't catch a break. I got a couple of other little things out here, not so much news really, but worth mentioning.
Sure.
It's the 30th anniversary of Blizzard.
Hey, happy birthday, Blizzard.
Yeah, that's out there. They'll be doing their Blizzard thing. I'm sure they'll have some sort of online BlizzCon.
I think it's called BlizzCon Line. It's like in the next week or so. Okay.
Yep. So congratulations on making it 30 years.
You made it.
Before your name and legacy are subsumed into the Activision brand entirely.
That's true. Yep.
Final Fantasy 14 the new expansion has been announced, and there is a teaser trailer out. It's called Final Fantasy 14 Endwalker.
Zach and Corey were losing their minds when this stuff was being announced. So
yep.
I know they were pulling our friend Taylor Bliss into that conversation about all that stuff. So yeah, I think there's some interest there.
Yeah. The only reason that I like that game, the only reason that I consider this to be newsworthy is because it's come out that this expansion is supposed to be the end of the story that's been being told in those mm-hmm. expansions since the relaunch. Mm-hmm. So then anything that happens during, I guess, the end or during some arbitrary point of Endwalker or after Endwalker is like a new story. So like they have finished a game. It is it's an MMO that has finished.
So it's going to be Final Fantasy 14-2 is what we're going to get next.
Kind of. Yeah. I'm sure it'll still be, you know, Final Fantasy 14 colon whatever. Yeah. But like, I don't think you can really mark. I don't think you can really point to another MMO that has an intentional end. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at something like the other giant popular MMO, like World of Warcraft, like when you went from the original game to Burning Crusade, the first expansion, that only sort of became a new story because at the time they had to add in a whole new continent. Like you went into a new zone that was completely detached from the original game and did all the stuff there, and then there was nothing really happening at the end of that. You would just kick around and do end game raids. Final Fantasy 14 ties stuff back into the main, like the original locations all the time. Like you'll be on a quest and it's like, oh yeah, you know, here's some big story thing, by the way, go all the way back back to the beginning and then do like an hour and a half of like talking to people and doing some shit like in the main town. It's like, oh fuck, all right, oh yeah, and everybody around here's now they're referencing shit that's happening out there. Like it all feels like an organic,
it's cohesive. Yeah.
So
an actual living world.
Yeah, totally.
It's the only, so I played Final Fantasy 11 for a hot minute back in the day. I think I dabbled super briefly in like WoW and some other MMOs, like small time stuff. Final Fantasy 14 is the one that I look at it and think, if I started playing that game, that's the only game I would play.
Yep.
I would probably be so consumed by it that, it would be the only game I'm playing. And I think that's why I've been hesitant to get into it.
Final Fantasy 14 is interesting because it's very easy to play that game alone.
Sure.
Yeah. And it just had like, before the first expansion of that game came out, it suffered from the MMO problem of you would hit grind points. Like you would do all of the quests you could up to a point, and for some reason you'd be like a level and a half below where you needed to be to unlock the next quest. So you'd have to run around and grind and do dungeons. And that always felt really kind of bad. That always felt really shitty. It's like, oh, now I got to grind. I don't want to do that. Every single time that game or an expansion has released that's had something like that happen, they really quickly go back in and fix it. They adjust experience values. So to keep it like a cohesive flowing experience, which means that once they have that fixed, they get to make that single player ish experience fresh. Like you'll play it as an MMO for, you know, 20 hours or something like that and finish a chunk of story. And then, you know, you'll have your rising action. And it's like, oh, we're doing dungeons now and it's crazy. And oh, we're fighting a dragon. And then you'll have a conclusion of that story and a little bit of falling action. And you're like, yeah, that was a good video game. Oh, it's picking back up again.
No, it's still going.
Like they're really, really, really good at that.
Damn it.
And now you're at the point. Now they're at the point where they're three expansions in, four expansions in, something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a lot of game there. There's a lot of story there, especially if you kick back and just watch the cutscenes instead of, you know, clicking through the text. Like, there's a lot of game there.
That's awesome. I mean, again, kudos to them. It's why I haven't been able to find a single person who has said negative thoughts, negative words about that game. So
yep.
Good stuff.
I got one more thing.
Sure.
Stephen Totello is leaving Kotaku.
Yeah, I heard about that. There's all kinds of drama over Kotaku because Stephen Totello is not the apparently not the kind of person to want to apologize publicly.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff happening over there, which it's unfortunate. But well, hey, you know what? Kotaku.
I say leaving. He's out. He's gone.
Yeah, he's
out. Yeah. He left as of the 5th, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, he announced it, and then he was out of there.
Yeah, he was there for 12 years, something like that.
I don't know who's left at Kotaku.
Yeah, I don't know.
I remember when Totello came to Kotaku years ago. He showed up at Kotaku around the same time that we started side questing. So we've officially outlasted Stephen Totello, his tenure at Kotaku.
Yeah,
I got one news story.
Yeah, all right, do it.
It's E3 going all digital. I mean,
yeah,
we knew it was coming. I think we've talked about it on every single podcast since E3 2020, since before E3 2020. But yeah, it's all but confirmed in the pitch documents that I think VGC, Video Game Chronicles, posted. But yeah, I tweeted like Sunday. I said, what's the over under on E3 officially going digital this year, and I wrote February 15th, somewhere around there. And the next day, the article went out. I thought, oh shit, I was pretty damn close. So yeah, there's a lot of conversations right now about what E3 needs to be. Maybe we'll do a future podcast on what E3 should look like down the line. But yeah, that's out there. Let's talk about what we've been playing.
Yeah, I'll go first.
Yeah.
I haven't really been playing anything. I finished up the last time I was on, because I wasn't on last week. I talked about how I played the first Tomb Raider game and then immediately bought the next two. I pretty much finished up that final Tomb Raider game.
What'd you think?
I mean, it's okay story-wise. It gets, like, I think I mentioned it when I talked about it last time. It gets way, way heavy into the supernatural.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, like, that doesn't go away. I want to play the next one whenever it comes out, if it ever comes out.
I think those kinds of games tend to, they kind of have to go into the, they have to try new tricks, whether it's supernatural stuff or like Uncharted 3 and 4 kind of took you back to Nathan's youth. And so I think there were, you know, they had to try something, and supernatural. Uncharted always had the supernatural stuff. So they, like, the very first game had like super bad guys, but
like, I don't begrudge them going supernatural. It's just like, I don't know. The first game was such a perfect blend of realistic fucked upness before it hit the and then the supernatural stuff. Mm-hmm. That when the next game start to go heavy into the supernatural stuff immediately, I'm sitting there going like, I mean, you could have buried the lead a little bit. Like the third game opens up like literally with supernatural stuff. Like you're climb through a tomb and you pick up a thing and it's like, oh, whoops, you kicked off the apocalypse. It's like, oh, all right. I mean, the first game I was running around like trying to quietly kill Russians on an island. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But, yeah, so that's it. That's it. I've been having a pretty low key time of it.
That's good. Sorry, I'm yawning right now. This thing is hitting me from being tired. I've got two things I'm going to talk about. One, I've been playing the new Mario, the new old Mario, Mario 3D World, which was probably the best Mario game since Mario 64. fantastic, and it came out for the Switch today. I picked it up and mostly for the Bowser Fury portion, Bowser's Fury. Bowser's Fury, so it's a separate mode. It's essentially a whole separate game that's kind of just in the 3D World box, right, on the menu there. You switch either between 3D World or Bowser's Fury. 3D World, I will say, they've sped it up. They've kind of done a couple little quality of life tweaks, which are fantastic. So, you know, it's made a wonderful game even better. Bowser's Fury plays like Super Mario Odyssey, which was up until, you know, again, up until or since Mario 64, Mario 3D World was the best Mario. Now Mario Odyssey kind of took that mantle. And Bowser's Fury seems like it would have been, it was meant to be DLC for Mario Odyssey. It's kind of what I start, I think the direction was going, because it plays more like Mario Odyssey, the more typical 3D Mario than 3D World. I'm loving it. It's Bowser's Fury is, it's short. It's like maybe a couple hours, 2 to 3 hours. And that's if you want to get every bell, and you're kind of hunting stars and bells and stuff. And your whole goal is really to survive when Kaiju Bowser attacks, survive his attack, his laser, hide, you know, whatever, get away from him. And then pick up stars, or sorry, bells. You gotta pick up enough kind of bell star things, and then get the to light these lighthouses, and then get the giant bell, the Giga Bell, which turns you into the giant Cat Mario. It's great visuals. That's fun. I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's more Mario. You can't go wrong with Mario most of the time. There are some couple stinkers out there. Mario Sunshine. But it's pretty cool. I dig it. It's just great to kind of get back into the Wii U games that kind of fell by the wayside, because they were on a horribly marketed, overly expensive system, with some really fantastic games that nobody played. So yeah, looking forward to playing more of the, you know, 3D World. This is also after picking up Captain Toad the other week for like a $4 oopsie on Walmart. So that's always a good thing. The other thing is, you've heard of Pokemon, right?
I have heard of Pokemon.
In America right now, we are doing Pokemon in McDonald's. So they have the Pokemon's, the McDonald's Pokemon. Let me put this way over here. Pokemon card sets they're giving me. It's like a special 25th anniversary themed, upside down, 25th anniversary themed Pokemon event through McDonald's. And they give you this cool little pack. Oh, shit, what did I do? Cool little pack that had, oh, my stupid camera's blurry, whatever. That has the, let me turn off the blurriness here, 1 second. That shows a, will this work? Let's see if this works. And there you go. All right. You can see it now. Much better. It comes with a little, nice little pack with a little, couple little games inside there for kids. Some stickers, a little holder thing, and a trading card pack. And apparently these are so freaking popular right now that there are scalpers out there buying up hundreds of these packs at a time. Look, they're going to McDonald's just buying every single one of these packs, like 300 packs at a time, and throwing them up on eBay for like a bunch of cash. Cause there are, apparently there's like some rarer ones here.
Are they tournament legal?
They are apparently tournament legal cards. I don't know. I've never freaking played the Pokemon card game. I think I may have a couple of Pokemon cards here and there, but I'm going to open up this pack live. The reason I'm talking about this, I'm going to open it up live. We got this as we went through the drive-through for my daughter for lunch the other day. I thought, I'm going to get this. She gets the Happy Meal, and I got the luck of getting the Pokemon cards out of it. So let's see here. I don't know if there's a special way to open up card packs online, and I think this is like a popular thing.
I mean, I'll tell you right now, I've watched my share of card openings on YouTube, and somehow those content creators have managed to bypass the YouTube age line restrictions and turn something as simple as card openings into a highly erotic, sexually charged event.
Just try that sometime. All right, let's see. Apparently, there's like, 40 different cards, too, so who knows. All right. First card is a Charmander, and look at this art, man. This is like the old pre-modern Pokemon's art. So Charmander.
It's like straight out the anime.
Straight out the anime, the original. All righty. Sobble. Good old Sobble, yeah. Oshawott. So there's your little beaver otter thing, Oshawott. And I don't know if every card gets them, but I got a sparkly. I got a Mudkip. I got a little foil.
There's Mudkip. There's the one you want.
There's the one I want. Whoever wants to buy this from me, let me know. But yeah, so there we go. I opened up Cards Live. They give you four cards. It's actually kind of a neat little giveaway thing that they're doing for kids. I know, and Burger King has like the Mario giveaway, which is like just, I don't know, Mario toys or something. But Nintendo's taking over the fast food for all their anniversary stuff. So yeah, there you go. That was Daly's first time opening up Cards Live on a stream somewhere. I'm glad you could have been a part of it, Aaron. We're in good shape. And guess what? That's it. It's all been playing. It's all been doing.
We covered the news. There's nothing. Covered left. The
news. It's a half hour. We knocked out this podcast in a half hour. I'm very proud of it.
I mean, that's good because the last one I was on, we went for like 2 hours. So
yes, we did. Yep. And we had nothing to talk about then either. But and I'm looking at all these news bites we did. And we did a good job, man.
We got lucky on the news this week. There was a lot of things to mention and not a lot of things to go in depth on.
Sure. Yep. So I'm okay with that. Hey. For all your listeners and viewers out there, thank you for joining us on this beautiful Friday night. Or if you're listening on whatever day you're listening, you can find us at sidequesting.com at sidequesting, the little at symbol, which in Europe, a lot of places, they call it the monkey.
Ah.
You know why? It's because the little at symbol looks like a monkey ear. So they call it the monkey, which is really weird. So
I'm never going to be able to unsee that.
Yep. So you can find us Monkey Side Questing at Side Questing all over the place. Side Questing TV on Twitch, Side Questing on the YouTubes. I'm at Dolly Domofsky. Where are you, Aaron?
I am at Scratty Bones. Nice. Oh, so, before we leave.
Yeah.
Remember 2 weeks ago, just before the sale on Hitman 3, the content for Hitman 1 and 2, just before that ended. Yeah. So I, like the day before it ended, I think it ended like 9 a.m. on the 3rd. So that night, I was like, I'm going to buy that content and sit on it. And so you click on it and it says, hey, you need Hitman 3 to access this content. These aren't the games. These are just play the games in Hitman 3. I said, yep, I know. I'll buy them. You go through the fucking process of trying to buy those, and it flashes this massive red warning that says, you cannot buy this unless you own Hitman 3. We will not sell it to you.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't get to buy them.
So you didn't get to buy it. Oh, dude, that sucks.
Yeah, so.
You're just going to buy it ahead of time. Oh, man.
Yeah, I was just going to buy it ahead of time, like either wait for sale or to just buy the game when I wanted the game. But
That's how they get you.
So they were like, you have to own the game to buy the game. And I was like, well, then fuck you.
Well, I'll wait.
So. I didn't play the first two. This was me getting ready to play the first two. You think I'm gonna buy the third one just to play the first two? No, fuck you. I'll wait until the whole package goes on sale for like $1.
At the next Steam sale, probably, or the next Epic Game Store sale, more than likely. All right, Aaron, thank you very much. Listeners, viewers, thank you. We'll see you all on the next episode.
Kingdom Hearts is on EGS now.
That's true. There you go. There's some news. Kingdom Hearts is on EGS. Can't wait for all the mods.
Oh, yeah. Buy them all. You'll only be out like $400.
Yeah, there you go. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye. Choices kill my head.